Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Philippians. And Lord willing, our last conversation in Philippians chapter 3, at least for now. And looking forward to learning a few new truths. Every day is a journey. Every day is a day where God gives us new grace, a new mercy, new opportunity. And I hope that you're a lifelong learner. I hope that as you listen to podcasts like these, read your Bible, and just try to grow in your own Christian life, I hope that your attitude is one of upward growth day after day. And John, I know that's your attitude. You're a lifelong learner, working on yet another college degree. And thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure and my privilege without doubt, Pastor.
So Philippians chapter 3, we ended with that section in verse 17 where the Bible says that we should follow people as they follow the Lord, identify those people in our lives. And then the Apostle Paul gives us a parenthetical. So he wants to give us some additional information about the reason for good role models, the reason for identifying positive influences in our life. The Bible says parenthetically in verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." So, boy, it's important to identify healthy role models, because there are many, the Apostle Paul said. That's a sad choice of words, and yet accurate, that are not living godly lives, that are not worthy of emulation.
You know, just because somebody claims to be a person of God, maybe even a very great speaker, we all have known charismatic speakers whom it has turned out were not at all the kind of people we thought they were. And Paul warned the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 20 about even their own congregation, people would arise that would twist the truth. And we see here that Paul has a great heart for the people of God to follow people that are godly and to mark those that are not godly and to go and not follow them for sure because they're going down the wrong pathway. But as I read these verses, I can't help but think, you know, of the heart that Paul has, even for these people that are going the wrong way. You know, that does cause Paul great consternation.
And he really sees the need to emphasize to people how important our influences are. So he said, "I've told you this often. This has been a theme in my preaching to you. I've told you this often, and I'm telling this now weeping." Can you picture the Apostle Paul writing this letter and tears falling down upon the parchment? I mean, it must have been. So I told you often, I tell you weeping. And then these are the enemies of the cross. This is strong language as the Apostle Paul talks about these influences. So he's already talked about the legalists at the beginning of the chapter. I think at the end of the chapter, he goes to the opposite side of the spectrum to say there are people that are going to tell you that your strict adherence to the law is necessary for salvation and that Pharisaical. But then here, he said there are other people that are going to be totally licentious, that are going to emphasize, just feed your flesh. It doesn't make a difference. And both of them, both sides of the road, both ditches are dangerous.
They're disastrous. And this is what causes Paul consternation, is that here he does know that there will be some who will read this letter when they get this epistle. And there will be some who will read that who, unfortunately and sadly, will be mesmerized by people that are promising them things on this extreme side. You know, hey, just live a life like you want. Doesn't really matter. And Paul, his heart hurts for believers that are going to follow that pathway.
And the Bible says, so when it comes to people that preach license and preach licentiousness, consider their end. Their end is destruction. So this could mean that they were truly not saved and they're ultimately going to be under God's eternal condemnation. Or it could also be a reference to saved people that have unwisely preached licentiousness, whose physical lives are destroyed. Either way, it's not good, whose end is destruction. Then the Bible says, whose God is their belly. So God, what rules them? A God is what rules you, what tells you what to do, what establishes your priorities, what indicates where you spend your time and money. Their God is their belly. In other words, their desires, their fleshly, sensual, earthly, temporal desires.
You know, and that's the culture that we live in. This will describe millions of people who they live for their lust. You know, just got to satisfy the lust. The lust never can be satisfied. We all realize that, but Satan does a great job, and our flesh and the world do a good job of telling us, hey, you'll find satisfaction here. It never will bring satisfaction. But Paul wants to warn the believers at Philippi, realize there are many people that believe that. Don't go down that road.
So, and it comes back to one of our big themes in the book. It says their end is destruction, but none of us wants that. You know, whose God is their belly? No, I think if we were honest with ourselves, we would say, no, I don't want to be ruled by my fleshly desires. I think all of us understand that how the flesh works and understand it doesn't satisfy ultimately, as you said, it's not worth it. But then I think here's the key to all of it. Because then he said, who mind earthly things? So where do these wrong decisions come from? They come from an earthly mindedness. Yeah, that we're not thinking about heavenly things. We're not driven by eternal values. We're just always operating in the now and now. And when I'm operating in the now and now, then temporal things are the things that have the most value. Well, I want vacation. I want satisfaction. I want my lust satisfied. I want, right?
You're without doubt, Pastor. That is true. It reminds me of Revelation. In Revelation, we find a technical phrase used quite a few times, actually, of them who dwell upon the earth, those who dwell upon the earth, they who dwell upon the earth. And that is the same idea this passage gives. In Revelation, those who are being judged are those who, they're earth dwellers. And that doesn't mean they just live here. It means this is their home. This is where they find satisfaction. This is their whole focus. Their focus is not God. Their focus is not eternity. Their focus is, as you mentioned, the here and now. And Paul knows there are many people that are like that. And he warns these Philippian believers, you know, this is their focus. Their focus is this earth, this world, what they can get out of it. In contrast to that, Paul's focus is Jesus Christ and being like Christ. And you could not get two further extreme contrasts.
It's the eternal temporal focus to which the Apostle Paul often comes back. And ironically, that's the next verse. The next verse, he comes back to that exact teaching that you referenced right there. Look at verse 20. He said, for our conversation, and we would say in modern English, our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven. It's in heaven. We're not of this world. So here are these people that are minding earthly things. Every decision they're making is based upon how can I be satisfied this Friday? How can I get a blessing, you know, this life? And the Apostle Paul said, that's the road to destruction. You're going to make ultimately really bad, self-serving, self-satisfying decisions when your context is this sliver we call life. But if you'll understand that you're not even a citizen, as a believer, you're not even a citizen of this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. And then the Bible says this, which is natural, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. So that's where our value is. You know, if I were to move to another country, and I've traveled to different countries, as have you, John, is that when I travel to a different country, Yeah, I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but I'm glad I'm an American. You know, I try not to be an obnoxious American, as many are when they travel, but I'm not trying to be like them. You know, I want to understand their culture. I want to reach them, but I understand who I am. It doesn't bother me if you would say that my accent is different, or, you know, you dress like an American, or, you know, it doesn't bother me. Why? Because my identity is not defined by you. My identity has already been defined by my home country.
Yeah, you're an American citizen, you're a citizen of the United States. And because of that, like all those who are, you know, patriotic citizens, you know, they are glad they're citizens of this country. And some of our listeners, you're probably citizens of other countries. And, you know, that's where your citizenship is at. And we all can relate with this mindset that Paul's painting for us that Pastor just talked about.
Thanks for pointing that out. I was just going to say, now listen, I know some of my Aussie friends and some of my Canadian friends and different people in Nicaragua and China and other places that are listening right now. Listen, I'm not trying to pull the American card. I'm just trying to give the illustration that, hey, we ought to know who we are in Christ. And we are ambassadors to a world that is not our own. That old song, we're just passing through. We're strangers and pilgrims. This is not our home. So the Apostle Paul is just trying to bring us back to that mindset of, boy, mind eternal things. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but you'll lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. Verse 21, so we're looking for Christ, our Savior, who, Christ, shall change our vile body. Boy, that's not an encouraging thing to say about us, but that's what it is. It's a vile body. It's a body that's rotting, that's decaying, that is slowing down. But not only that, it's sin-cursed. You know, it's going to be wonderful one day not to have to be shackled to this old flesh. So this vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul is reading into his readership, or, am I ever going to, is there ever hope for me? Am I ever going to stop sinning? Am I ever going to be in a perfect state? And the Apostle Paul said, yeah, the God that can do anything, that was able to subdue all things to himself, that great power for which he is known, he's going to use that power to change you into his very image one day.
Yeah, and what an uplifting thought. And what a stark contrast back to verse 19, where Paul talks about whose glory is their shame. You know, their glory is their shame. But for us to know Christ, someday we will be like the glorious, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Their end is destruction. Our end is total restoration. It's what a promise that we have, my friends, as believers in Jesus Christ. So we look for him. So because our citizenship is in heaven, that's where our investment is. We're looking for Jesus. And one day he's going to come and we're going to see him. We're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. So our focus, that's the glorious hope of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again. That's what grace does. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly, to look for that blessed hope. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He comes back to these themes over and over again in the Bible. And here it is again in Philippians chapter 3. And that is the end of Philippians chapter 3.
It's been a great study, Pastor. We could have spent a lot more time on it, but I've really enjoyed going through it.
And I've enjoyed having each one of you to join us with us each day yourselves. I appreciate that. Tomorrow, next episode, we'll jump right into Philippians chapter 4. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.